or he's not one to let love or like women do this thing to him. I say this thing like he wasn't just experiencing romantic emotion, which is so normal. Hello, lovers. Welcome back to another episode of your beloved romance podcast, starring Cupid, the podcast where I rant and slash or rave about romantic pairings from movies and TV shows. As always, it's your boy Zamararex, nothing more, nothing less, from the east, not the west. X outdate, Kharas. That is actually a perfect segue into what today's episode is about, because today we become more than just lovers. I'm sorry, I didn't think about how that would sound until I said it out loud. What I mean is, today we stop being lovers and we become the leafies as I explore a rom-com that is both South African and Afrikaans. Fun fact, I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I don't know what scenario would provoke me to share this on the podcast, but fun fact, I was taught Afrikaans from like grade four up until matric. And yeah, I'd like to brag and say that I'm fluent, but that is a lie. I don't think I ever was actually fluent. Like even when I was deep into my school career, writing exams still and all that jazz, I don't think I ever got to a point where I could call myself fluent. I just tell people that I can understand it very well, but I speak it very badly. Because literally my pronunciations suck. I don't know what happens, but like my pronunciations just tend to suck the minute I have to speak. Until I've had vodka, then the pronunciations, they come out smooth. But like I can't get drunk every time I have to do mondelungs. So yeah, again, it's also been years since someone has made me do an oral for like marks, you know what I'm saying? Like no one's testing my wit, no one's testing my language levels anymore, so I'm probably way worse than I ever was in high school life. But one thing I do love from all those wonderful educational years was I got like premium access to Afrikaans romantic comedies. I don't know why this is this way. Maybe it's because it's ridiculously cheaper to just make and like produce rom-coms in this country, but there are a lot, and listen, hear the emphasis in my voice when I say this, there are an astounding number of Afrikaans rom-coms available. Like I thought that it was just my teachers trying to find options for us that were like PG-13 and wouldn't get them in trouble with the department. But the truth is, there's just a lot of these movies out there. I've not seen all of them because, like, again, I only did Afrikaans for so long, but I've seen far too many of them. And I unfortunately love half of them. They're just so, I'll get into the details of what they're just so like later, but there's no rom-com in this genre that I love more than today's subject though. Today, I've been saying today a lot, I'm sorry guys. Today we are looking at Jackie van Jaarsveld and JP Besson from the quirky hit that is Semi-Soet, which means semi-sweet, and it becomes relevant at the very, very end of the movie. beef is this film has everything. They have everything that I've been like raving about on this podcast for almost a year. They have people pretending to be a couple. Amazing. They have a secret that only the audience knows. Amazing. Goofy and clumsy incidences, funny best friend characters, grand gestures. It keeps getting cornier and cornier the more you look at it. And honestly, fantastic. Fantasy. Like, I first watched this in grade 10. Grade 10. This was very difficult for me to recall because I couldn't recall who my teacher was between grade 9 and grade 10. So y'all will check my classmates, if y'all listening to this, don't expose me. But yes, I saw this in grade 10. I'd seen the trailer before, maybe on like Mnet and stuff, and I thought it was like gonna be cute and like a little corny. I didn't think it'd be anything different from what I'd seen, and I wasn't wrong about it being cute and corny. It was exactly that. But I think it's the best movie I've ever watched in Afrikaans class. Yeah, it was. Of course, it's not a pod episode without me using this as a way to secretly complain about something that bothers me. So I am pre-warning you right now. I'm about to rant somewhere in the middle of all of this about something that I think people might not care about if they don't watch a lot of movies, or they may care about and they just didn't have the words to say it. I'm here to complain for you. It's going to irritate you if you are secretly racist and you didn't know until you heard me complain about this thing. Sauce to you, because I know my leafies, my lovers, they're good, wholesome, soul-loving people. Only good, wholesome, soul-loving people listen to this podcast. So I'm just putting this out, this warning out for any newcomers that probably they saw the promo poster or they heard about what I'm talking about and they came for genuine movie discussions and they were not anticipating drags. Well, sorry. So stay tuned for that. Let me not waste another second though. Let's get straight into how this movie was made. And later, we look at the lovely Jackie and JP. This movie was directed and written by Joshua Rouse, I'm so sorry, in 2012. Mr. Rouse is also responsible for the film Discreet, which prior to doing this research, I had never seen before, but I read the synopsis and it reads like a Wattpad fiction that I would have loved when I was 15. So I obviously have to see it. I need it. If this movie and maybe like the concept of Discreet, if they're the kind of rom-coms that this man is trying to bring into this country, then I'm all for it. Like, do good, do great, fly high. Because honestly, well done for this. This was great. In the writer's room, we have Sandra Vaughan, who portrays one of the best friends actually in the movie. We have Anil Alexander, who portrays the lead character. There's a lot of double work in this movie. You'll see it later yourself. And then we have the lovely James Alexander in the room as well. Not to distract from his work, but oof, James Alexander is hot. Like, wowee. Great body of work. Loved him in The Wild, and I think he was in Trackers as well. Love his work, but his face is hot. Sheesh. But enough about him. This entire thing isn't even about him. What we should focus on though is these wonderful women we have in this writing room. We have Sandra Vaughan, like I said, who has written for movies and shows such as Asay Sen, Alles wat mal is, Sisters, Getrouwd met Rugby. She working, she fucked and busy. And then we also have Anna Alexander, where this was her first writing gig, according to the internet, because you know how severely lacking our South African media content is. But I'll elaborate more on her career in the later part, in the cast part. I just wanted to bring these ladies up because I've said it once and I'll say it again. I love it. I love it when women write women-led rom-coms. Not to say that men can't make good rom-coms. That would be unrealistic to say. Also, When Harry Met Sally exists. But more often than not, men seem to write women in such a strange way. Strange. I'm deciding to use the word strange way. Yes. It shows up in how the lead characters, how they face their conflicts, or even like the shit they choose to focus on within the story, how they react to like love situations. It's just, it's present. You cannot ignore women written by men, because you sit there and you kind of go, really? Is that so? So here it was refreshing to have women be present in the room, and it shows up on the screen, because here we got to have women be good and supportive friends to one another, as you'll see with the lead character and her best friend. It's always, always refreshing to see. So thank you to Sandra and Anel for doing the Lord's work, but also thank you to James for doing the Lord's work just by being here. Yeah. This movie, it's not gonna get an Oscar nod, but it gets my nod of approval. I'm sorry, I couldn't. That was a horrible, horrible pun. I couldn't even finish it. Anyway, yes. Put women behind these rom-coms. Put women in front of these rom-coms. Put women at the cameras of these rom-coms. You know, just like, do it. We even write male love interests better than y'all, because wow, I love fictional men written by women. Chef's kiss. You can't see it, but I'm doing the emoji thing. Chef's kiss. The music. I didn't even bother checking who was in charge of the music, because I'm about to be mean. The music was, it screams 2012. You know, but it doesn't even have the hits that I recall from that era. I wasn't expecting like international music, because there's all that hullabaloo about how we get music into movies and TV shows that I still don't understand. Actually, yes, guys, I want someone to make a comprehensive video, even a podcast episode would be better, about why it's so difficult to use our music in productions. Like, is it a label thing? Is it the artists don't want to give out their music thing? I just want to understand, so I can understand what I'm complaining about. But again, music isn't the most important bit, because, you know, you're here for the story. But I can never ignore bad music. Like, it's really hard to ignore. The budget for this film is something, one, that I don't know, because we don't publish these kind of numbers, and two, it's part of the big rant that I'm gonna have later. If you are a South African lover, I wanna firstly say Chovicho B. Secondly, you've probably watched a local movie before, at least once. You've probably at least watched one. If you've never watched at least one, I have many questions for you. But there, all the movies that we have, they are all varying degrees of good and bad, which is any movie seen across the world. But one thing I've noticed from consuming so many of these Afrikaans movies is there's like a big significant difference between their production budgets and other local movies that we have. I must emphasize and say, when I say Afrikaans movies, I mean white Afrikaans movies. Like this film, for example. There's not even a point, a plot point of this is that they spend a weekend at a vineyard. Vineyard. They were filming on a vineyard for about half the film. Let's look at that. I don't know the exact numbers, I don't know the exact figures, but that has to cost a lot of money. Like, it costs a lot of money to simply go visit one for that one day, and me to tell me y'all had time to film enough footage to last a weekend. Yeah, I know, you can tell that this was a well-supported movie. A lot of the rom-coms I saw, you could tell that they were well-supported, or they had the resources to make shit happen. I'm gonna elaborate more in the dislike segment, but for now, I just want you to know that I find it pretty wild that there aren't more local movies with this kind of backing just immediately. Like, I'm not saying all our movies that aren't white Afrikaans movies are whack or that they're low budget. We probably just get like a handful of them a year that aren't badly produced though. In that handful, I'm saying three, and I think it's gotten worse now because of COVID, so there's less. So yeah, again, more of this talk in the likes and dislikes segment. Onto the cost. Gracing us as the lovely leading lady, we have Anel Alexander as Jackie. She has been in wonderful projects such as Seven Delaan, Discreet, like I mentioned, Vaanse Trein, Klein Karoo, which is actually another very white Paddy story that they made us watch in school and that I kind of liked. Getroud Met Rugby. And just the list goes on. She's wonderful. She's booked and busy. She's great. And I especially liked this role. I really like Jackie. I don't want to use this word, but she's kind of spunky. Like, she's got what the people call moxie, and she made it entertaining. There's something very Sally Albright about her, not to make another When Harry Met Sally reference, but yeah, she has that thing, and I really liked that character. I like the drama of what she goes through. Just don't make me explain further, just understand that I loved her here. And then, I'm sorry, I have to take a breath for I think possibly one of my biggest local crushes. And I'm so scared to talk about this because I remember a tweet from Karen where she was saying that it's very difficult to talk about local actors and stuff that you crush on because, well, it's very, she was saying that it was very difficult to tweet about it because people will just show them. And now this person knows. And I'm hesitant to do this in the like unlikely chance that he'll ever hear this, but I'm here now. As our leading lad, we have the beautiful Nico Pinaggio as JP. Most of you know him, the South African lovers, most of us know him as the host of Our Survivors. And I'll be honest with you, Leafies, I've never seen a single episode of Survivor. It's not exclusive to just the Southie version. I've never liked any of the survivors. I don't like the show as a concept. I just don't get the hype. No shade thrown to anyone that participates and or enjoys it. I'm not saying it's a bad show, I just say it's not for me. But I do recall, I remember watching it passively maybe once Just to see Nico Pinaggio, because he's gorgeous. Like, respectfully, he is so gorgeous, and that's not even up for debate. Like, I'm not trying to hear counter arguments because I'm right. He's a silver fox, and he seems so nice. And again, respectfully, I am a fan of his work. His work being him, but also, like I said, respectfully, he's good, he's great, he's great. However, he's been in other projects such as Seven Delan, Vroeg Brug. What? Vroeg. Wow. See, this is the shit that got me to fail Afrikaans, if my teachers ever heard this. Hold on. Vroeg Soek Boer. There we go. Confetti, Veel Vastgoed, and more and more and more. Handsomeness aside, I think he's wonderful. He's very good. He's very good at comedic work. I was shocked that he's that funny. I feel like he has that thing about him that makes him like the quintessential rom-com leading man. I don't know, maybe it's his role, but he's got something very Dermot Mulroney about him. I think maybe it's because JP is essentially a version of a movie where Dermot Mulroney has to do the same thing, but he wasn't evil. He was just hired to be a fiance, and he did that. So yeah, loved him in this. Love them as leads in this. Honorable mentions. I have to send a big, huge shout out to the best friend characters, to the leads. We have Sandra Vaughan as Carla, who is the best friend of Jackie, and Lou Fender as Adki, who is the best friend to JP. I love them as like just side characters, and also as their own people within the story. I loved them so much. They were like the classic angel and devil on Jackie and JP's shoulders throughout, but they also like held their own, and they entertained whenever they were in frame, and I think they added very well to the jokes when the jokes weren't homophobic. But yeah, love them. Their own chemistry would have been strong enough to pull my attention away from the main people, and that's why I had to shut them out. I also want to say bless Chandri too. I forgot to check up her name before I did this, but bless her heart. Like, she was so cute. They were trying to make her the butt of the joke, kind of like, oh, look at this blonde bimbo all the time. And I guess fine, that's 2012 humor. But half of the time, I was really just siding with her. Like, I wanted Chaudry to win so bad, and I wanted her to win away from Marcus. So that failed. Plot. If you have never seen this film, I highly recommend it. I do. Make it your intro into the world of Afrikaans rom-coms that are simply there for fun. No thoughts, no vibes, just fun. I found it online on DStv Catch Up, so it's probably played on TV recently. I think it's currently for renting purposes on Apple TV. You can check that out. Just don't knock it till you try it. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you end up hating it, you would have tried it. And that's my recommendation. That's my selling recommendation. If you have seen it, but you require a refresher to remind yourself, here is a summary. When I was doing this, when I was thinking about doing this, I thought about doing this segment in Afrikaans, but honestly, I don't need that kind of ridicule from y'all, so I'm not gonna. A young woman, desperate to save her company from the woes of capitalism, hires a model to pose as her fiancé to secure a major bag, not knowing his devious intentions. Yeah, y'all can guess who the model is. Like I said, this is quite a corny film. Just the type of juicy content that I love about this genre. You know me, This was very close to kind of that early 2000s movies feel that I worship so much, and but it still managed to be uniquely from here. You know what I'm saying? Like, language and location aside, it feels like it's from here without even thinking about that other stuff, like, which is a quality I think that we should never lose in our movies. I think we should always try to like bring it back to South. Like, I don't, the day that we as an industry just become a place that replicates all the American shit that we see, then I think we might as well close up shop and shut off the cameras, because like, what are we doing here? Anyway, there's jokes, there's secrecy, there's stereotypical romantic jigs. I can't say how much I love it more than I've already said it. So here they are finally. It's Jackie and JP. One movie trope that will always get me is the let's pretend to be a couple trope. I don't know what it is about it, but it's had a hold on me forever. I think I expressed that it's had a hold on me when I was talking about To All the Boys. And it's just fantastic every time. It will either end in romantic bliss or unbridled chaos, and I love both of those things. For this faux pair, get it? Because they're a fake pair. And a faux pas. Anyway, yeah, for this faux pas, they spiced it up a little bit, just a tinge more, by making them also hate each other on top of them pretending. I must note that couples that start off hating each other is not the healthiest thing. Like, movies have normalized it or made it just like a thing that seems like it happens, and I hope we never get to a point in society where it becomes a real thing. But it's pulled many people before, because people have this thought process or the assumption that hate and love come from the same neighborhood because they are such passionate emotions. So it's natural for one to fall into the other. I'm not going to speak on whether or not that's true, because I don't think it's completely wrong, but I don't think it's completely right enough for us to rest on it. But in this film, these are quite the people to hate each other. We have Jackie, the hardworking corporate woman who was heartbroken once, and that's her thing now. That's in that sentence, that's who she is, and all her motivations stated in the sentence. She is driven by work. Her drive for her job gets to the point where it puts her in a tough position, where she has to be involved with this man for like a weekend though. But still, it's like that's the dedication level she's at with her job. The man in question though is JP, who is presented to us as also this kind of hard worker, very corporate hand person, but it's not as endearing or as cute with him, because what he does with that hard work or with that work ethic is he buys up companies like he's a black hole soaring through the capitalism stratosphere. Oof, oof, there's too many geeky references in that one sentence. But yeah, he's just going through them and stealing companies from under their noses, and that kind of paints him as the bad version of Jackie. But he's attractive, so the rom-com gods have deemed it acceptable for him to be a bad person. Anyway, let's pretend for a second that this situation doesn't happen the way that it unfolds, and these two characters just met organically. Like, they live in Joburg, they're bound to bump into each other at some point. I think that they'd hate each other regardless. Like, there's just too much about them that's very conflicting, which kind of seeps into an opposites attract thing, even though they're kind of the same, written to be the same person, which is funny because now it sounds like self-hate. But yeah, I don't think they would ever have gotten along to begin with. Like, Jackie would probably hate his greed in terms of like how he does his business. JP would hate her optimistic energy and kind of like fa-la-la attitude about life. So straight off, there are no points for these two for compatibility. And that's where the beauty of the faux pair comes in. See, Leafy is when you're pretending, you have to kind, at least a bit of you have to suspend the disbelief that this would never work out, and you have to entertain it at least hypothetically, to a hypothetical extent. You have to entertain the idea that this could actually be a person that you'd be with. And in the case of this movie, Jackie genuinely doesn't know who he is. So he really does start off on the blankest of slates, hypothetically speaking. So once that is kind of cleared, once your mind has kind of placed you in a place, placed you in a place, English major. Once your mind has put you in a place where you have to imagine for at least 2 seconds that you could be with this person, I think that's where the superficial things fly away and compatibility, the points start to grow at this point. Because Jackie and JP are in unintentionally, indirectly, forced into being open to prove that this whole thing isn't a sham and that it isn't fake. You have to really sell people on you to being in love. So you can't just stop it at thoughts. You can't just stop it at actions. It has to go further than that sometimes. They're not doing that thing in most opposites attract stories where it feels like the reason why these two people are paired up is that they are filling the other person up. Maybe this is like a personal opinion, maybe I didn't watch this movie very well. Jackie isn't there to make up for JP's flaws, and JP is not there to make Jackie a different woman. Maybe they inspire changes within each other, but it's not a compensation thing. It's not like they're making up for each other's, I almost said disadvantages, but that's not what I meant. I think I meant downfalls. But yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like, they're not, that's not their purpose. So they're, because there are no set intentions for themselves here, which comes from also them being a fake couple. When you're a fake couple, you're not really thinking about fixing the other person that much because you're not there. And because there are no such intentions set in the beginning for themselves, I think they just winged it. Or is it? Is it winged? I wanna say wang so bad. I wanna say wang so bad. If any of my English lecturers listen to this, firstly, I'm sorry, and secondly, I swear I'm smart, I promise. I just trip sometimes. But yes, anyway, in winging the situation, they found a common ground away from all the hullabaloo, and they find a good place to start and to build up from. The hate fades away pretty quickly, I think, after the pig incident. I could even argue that the montage where he's dressing up and changing into different outfits, that's where the hate starts to fade, which is how you should use montages in a rom-com, not this thing where you're just summarizing a love story that we want to see. Use it for silly things like dress-up montages. Also, thank you to Nico Pinaccio for that. That was the most fantastic 3 minutes of my life. Anyway. What was I talking about? Hate, yes. The hate fades pretty quickly, but I also think that's because it wasn't even real, like genuine hate in the first place. JP was just simply trying to be difficult to fulfill his scheme. I think it also adds to how Erki reveals that JP has never done this before. He's not one to let love or like women do this thing to him. I say this thing like he wasn't just experiencing romantic emotion, which is so normal, so normal. Men that think that they're above feeling or that they know more than their own emotions. Like, let me tell you something about love. It will drop kick you in the middle of your forehead if you're being a cocky person. Don't ever walk into love thinking you higher and mightier than it is. Please, even if you are this cold-hearted, slick-talking character, like that's one thing I love about rom-coms. Rom-coms will bring male characters like JP to their knees because they're being idiots. And he was being a big idiot, and love took its turn with him. He had like a whole meltdown from finding out that the ex was still in love with Jackie and he didn't understand what was going on. But I knew. Ultimately, in the story, the truth comes out, and obviously, things are strained because you are allowed to change your mind about somebody when new information is revealed. And that's kind of the price of keeping secrets from people. We know from movies before, it's always emphasized. But like JP's lie is a pretty damaging lie to build from. Like it's not just him pretending to be a model. It's not just him pretending to be a doctor. It's him pretending to be all these things while his actual whole goal was to kind of steal the company from underneath them. Desperate, if you ask me. But yeah, having to decide whether or not this information mattered is always up to the main character because it's a tough decision to make. I mean, the writers make it easier by changing JP's heart and making him do that thing where he doesn't really sell the where he doesn't really buy the company. So it's like it makes it difficult for Jack to be like, oh, I'm so upset with him. He ruined our lives. And he also does that grand gesture thing at the end. The writers make it very difficult for her to second guess this. By the way, guys, we don't have a lot of grand gestures in our rom-coms. Like, why is that? Is it because public humiliation is too cringe? What's that about? Like, I remember in not me forgetting the name of this movie. Seriously Single. I remember in Seriously Single when I covered it. There's a moment where Demi Moraga's character goes up on stage because she hates it. She goes up on stage to sing to win that man back, and it works because grand gestures are so cool in rom-coms. That's the only place where it's okay. Like why don't we have more of them? Why aren't people running through OR Tambo to get the love of their lives back before they leave to a different country? You know what I'm saying? Like, bring that shit back. Bring that shit back. But yes, sorry, not to completely derail. Dealing with the aftermath, oof. Dealing with the aftermath doesn't sound right. You have to say aftermath, but that's American. Yeah, dealing with the aftermath of the truth is, it's a lot to deal with. It's a lot to handle. And I've always believed that if you decide to not change your mind, to not just go run off into that person's arms, it is completely valid. Because again, you've been lied to, things were kept from you. In a normal situation, that would be grounds to leave anyone alone. Yet, almost every film I've seen, people weigh their options and then they just decide that siding with the liar is good enough for them. You got mail lifted for like the very end of the movie when my girl Meg Ryan wasn't even sure how she felt anymore about anyone, let alone Tom Hanks. But yeah, people they rom-com people they do it a lot, and I think it's fine here because you realize that in the long run, it's cool. Like it's cool though because Now she got the love that she wanted all this time, and her company was saved. Like, there were no real bad circumstances or bad endings to this. It was a win-win scenario for a lot of people. Maybe the beginning circumstances weren't right, but in the end, JP made them right. He's being weird a little bit when she went to see him in the office, and he was still butthurt about something that didn't even happen. It should have been cleared up the minute that she said it never happened, but people, they'd be like that. And everyone, it works out for everyone in the end, and for them being able to make it right to one another, I still like JP, I still like Jackie, and I really like this corny, silly, silly, silly couple. Likes and dislikes time. I can actually do this part in Afrikaans because I remember how to say like, and all that I have to say dislike is add knees. So, yeah, ek hou van the entire premise. Like, it's great. For rom-com plots, they're getting a bit too serious these days for me personally. Like, I understand that dramatic and serious movies can exist alongside the ridiculous ones, but I feel like part of the beauty of this genre is the ridiculousness of it all. Like, there's a reason why we like rom-coms, but we don't like genuine like love stories that happen amongst us. There's something nice about the fairy taleness or even the ridiculousness of these stories, the clumsy moments, the car chases across the city to profess your love, the over-the-top acting like you're together, all that noise. We want that. We like that. They added in this movie, I feel like they added so many of those ridiculous elements while they managed to maintain a decent while they managed to maintain a decent storyline. And I'm glad that it happened. I'm glad that people can see that it can happen. And I want more of it because that's what most of the cult classic rom-coms are. They're just ridiculousness after another. So give us more of that, which leads me to my second point. Echo fun it not being afraid to be corny. I feel like romantic movies are all about vulnerability. I'm so sorry, I will never say this word. And I have to say it a bunch to prove my point. Emotional and sometimes physical vulnerability from characters moves you because people don't get to be vulnerable like that in real life. And part of vulnerability is not being afraid to look a fool for the things or the people that you love. Yes, in certain situations, love will make you a fool anyway, like just for shits and giggles, for its amusement, and we have to endure it for the love at the end of the embarrassment. In fact, lovers, let's talk about this. Having a crush on somebody, I think it's embarrassing. Any romantic feelings you have for someone and they don't know, I think it's very, very embarrassing. I hate it so much. But here, in movies like this, I like movies where it gets embarrassing for them, or it gets like, or they have to like, you have to stop being cool. Yeah, Pelin, don't buy you cool guy because you can't be a cool guy and get the girl. Like, one has to fall, and it's all in the name of vulnerability. Now, emphasis on the words vulnerable, which I can't say, and the words embarrassing. That's the thing we should focus on. I don't think love should feel humiliating because that's a completely different thing, and that's when it becomes like, oof, humiliation. But you can't be afraid to be corny, you can't be afraid to be embarrassed or anything like that. Like, you can't be cool and in love. Echo fun. It's under. I liked how they used the montage for the dress up sequence, like I said, but they used another montage near the end when Jackie's heartbroken, which I didn't like. It's like they found a place where montages work and they used it well, and they found a place where I didn't want a montage and they used it. So it's up in the air. I wanted to say that Echo Fun, how each set was designed, like, I like how their homes looked, how their offices looked. However, I have strong feelings about the Mojo office space, because why do marketing companies get away with such very bad and very weird decor? Like, every scene that was shot in those offices, I just kept thinking about Ezweni Communications pre the Mfundi snap, when all the old people were there. It was just, guys, I love the old generations of all my heart and soul, but that was a horribly designed room. It was a horribly designed office, and it haunts my dreams. But in this movie, I guess it's okay, because they're barely there. They spend most of the time on the farm, and I liked the rooms and how the farm looked. They had the money for it, which brings us to our dislikes. Echo Me Fun, the gay jokes. I say jokes with quotation marks around them, because honestly, are they jokes or is it not so subtle homophobia? It was still a major thing in movies back in 2012. I guess I'd be wrong to say it doesn't happen in big 2021 right now either. But I do think that it's just so tired. It's such a tired thing that I want completely eradicated from rom-coms, all movies in general. But like, I'm so tired, especially since all these terrible jokes, not aside from the ones that are said by other characters, maybe the jokes that come from what are supposed to be gay characters in the show or movie, but they are always portrayed by actors that I know for a fact are the superest heteros in the world. I don't know, I hate it. It's homophobic, it's annoying as well. Like, just drop the jokes and maybe invest in hiring some real queer people if you really, really wanted them here. Like, if you really wanted us here, you'd make us characters that make sense and are funny regardless. Like, you can make us funny and add us to a story, and it could have nothing to do with us being gay. You know, it can work. I promise you it can work, especially since the jokes are clearly not working. They weren't working then, it shouldn't have worked back then. So let's just try some representation instead. Let's see what funny material comes up when you guys actually hire actual queer people. Let's try it. Echo Me Fun, the music, which I kind of started saying earlier. Yeah, lovers, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I don't like Afrikaans music. Like, I'm no connoisseur, I can't give you recommendations, but I'm willing to admit that they are bangers within the genre, as with any genre. My problem is the ones that they decided to use for this movie, or movies like this. They always feel like the most whack selection possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys have hits. Why aren't they here? If this is the international audience's only representation of what Southie movies are like, they might think that this is all the music that we have, and that doesn't sit right with me. Not the lack of non-white people in these movies, not the resources thing. It's the point that people will tune into this from, like, I don't know, France, and they'll think that this is it when it comes to our music. They think that's all we have to offer. And I think that's good enough reason for whoever has to legally do it to just fix the music clause or like laws that bind us from using good popular music in our movies and stuff, because this is madness now. Like, I know that there are modern movies that use all kinds of music now, which is wonderful, which is great. At least the palette is getting diverse. It's just that this movie didn't have that. I'll excuse it because it's 2012, or because I still don't know what our rules are with music, but it was just bad. It was just bad. Echo ni fun, the budget differences. Here we go. Listen, I know what country I live in. Like, I'm not foolish. Nothing ceases to amaze me anymore about this place. Like, I think I'm just going through the motions lately. But I remember in high school when the teacher would put these movies into the DVD player and we'd watch them, and I'd be sitting there and I'd be enjoying it, or maybe I wasn't enjoying it again. Not all of them were great. But I'd constantly think to myself, damn, I can't believe we have these resources. Because I really am shocked that we have this stuff. I'm always shocked because, as I said before, only a handful of black movies get this kind of movie magic in this country. Even worse, our premises are never the same, or they're never as light-hearted. A lot of black films are, or the ones that get the big budgets, or like they get all the resources, they are still tied to like oppression, apartheid history, poverty porn, struggle Olympics. Like, there's lots of just sad themes attached to the movies that get a lot of backing. And when we try to have, in inverted commas, fun movies, or movies that are not even remotely attached to paying, they are severely underfunded, or something about the production of them just falls flat, or they're not marketed very well. Oh, South African movies not being marketed is actually another thing piece that I think I'll save for another day. But yeah, it's mess. It's mess all over. Now, I don't have any actual numbers or studies to back me up, which is fair if you recall the fact that, one, I don't have the facilities for that, big man. Like this, and two, this podcast is literally just an audible blog that's run by a 20-something student. I'm not gonna find this out. Like, I'm not gonna have the time to find this out. And again, we don't have a lot of stuff. I don't have a lot of information or access to the information that I would need to prove this stuff. So you'll just have to believe me, or better yet, watch the movies. Because I watch the movies. I've seen a significant amount of local movies on either side of the fence, and I've seen how green that grass is on the other side. And I know some people might not care about this whole thing, and that's okay, because I don't know, you're not a movie person, this doesn't bother you, sure. But I fear that what the long-term consequences are of having black and non-white people in this country kind of locked out of the rooms where these decisions are being made, or funding is being ushered out. I fear that the long-term consequences of that are dire. I feel like we're ignoring talent and maybe stories that could have been so great if they just got the right resources. I feel like we are prioritizing a certain group over everyone else just because they have these connections, and somehow we never have any access to these connections. It's just, we can't have one good black movie every year, especially with the amount of people that live in this country and the amount of people that are constantly working to make good shows and good movies for us. And it's worse that we can't have one good black movie when we know that we have the resources and maybe even the capacity to make, I don't know, six. It's not right, and it will never be okay. But some of y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all just want to watch your movies. We've reached the end of the show, and it's been lovely, Leafies. Really, really great time. It was really nice to get this movie off my wish list for the show. I think it was in the original list when I first was drafting this. I should actually find that original list and see if I'm still making those numbers. But this was really great. I'm definitely going to do more South African content. I've been singing this song for a very long time, but I'm serious now because now the pod is serious now. Access is also just getting better to all these movies, and people are making more, like production companies and stuff are getting better and all that jazz. So hopefully all my complaining about resource hoarding stops or like becomes null and void, because soon we'll be making movies of all great quantities and qualities, and they will be spoken about on this show, best believe it. So yeah, for now we turn to this week's Who's Your Fave Battle, Leafies edition, because what else could it be? In this corner we have Nina and Hugo from the romantic Island Paradise movie Veraldate versus Amory and Basson from the cross-country corny film that is But Now Your Heart. Yes, I have watched both of these. Yes, they are they are both done by the same lead actors, just playing different roles. In fact, I don't want to say fun fact in case I'm wrong, but I think they're actually married in real life, which makes this battle even a bit more cuter. I don't know. Back to the battle. I think I have a favorite already, purely because one of these movies had a better premise than the other, but they're both really great. They're both also options that you should watch if you're trying to jump into the world and see what it's like on the other side of the fence. I hate myself. Anyway, it would be so tough to choose, which is why I'm glad you guys are here, because I'm trusting you, lovers, to vote and make your voice heard. You can go vote on our Twitter poll at Starring Cupid, and for a limited time on Instagram at Samity Shares. On that poll on our story, you can drop us a DM. Let us know how you feel about any of the movies I've mentioned today. Let us know how you feel about South African movies in general. Maybe you don't agree with me, maybe you do agree with me. If you don't agree with me on racist grounds, then I don't want to hear it though. I'm joking, but I'm not. Otherwise, I shall see you all next week. Do not forget to catch the movie for the season finale. It is He's Just Not That Into You. I've posted the details about what we want to do on our Twitter. I will post more details closer to the time. I'm also gonna make sure to like constantly remind you, or constantly, oof, I'll remind y'all weekly, because we have about, it's maybe 4 weeks now. It might be 5 weeks, because I think I skipped. Yeah, I did. But we'll see. I will notify you beforehand, I promise. Lovers, have a splendid day. Have a splendid weekend. Have a splendid Virgo season. Bye.